Always a pleasure to have him on. Lauren Rubenstein, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing, Scott?
Great.
Good morning, Rube. How are you doing? Everything's good?
Good, Lego. I'm doing fine.
I just want to, I was telling Scott that you were just over in, well, your favorite place. I want to say our favorite place because I love it. How was Dornick?
Oh, it was wonderful. You know, I went over with really my best friend for the last 50 years. He'd never been to Scotland. Certainly, you know, he's a once-a-week golfer, plays at Don Valley, likes the game. But it was fantastic awesome. For me to show him my Dornoch. And it happened to be a week when a lot of other people were there that I knew from around Planet Golf. So it really, I can't imagine how it could have been a better week.
So just for the listeners who aren't completely aware of it, tell us a little bit about Dornick and how, I mean, you wrote the book how long ago now and how has it changed at all? At all? Are there any skyscrapers?
It hasn't really changed. The book was, you know, it's got a few more good restaurants, a few more cafes, but other than that, you know, there's some people building some houses there who have come to love it and they want to spend more time there. But really, you know, it'll never change. It hasn't changed in hundreds of years as far as the golf course goes. I am a member there, and they are going to be finally putting in a clubhouse. I was there, my wife and I were there in the summer of 2000. So it's almost 20 years or so ago now. And, you know, whenever I go back there and make that turn off kind of the A9, the two-lane highway up from Inverness, highway two-lane road up from Inverness and turn down into Dornoch, and you come over a hill and down there, and, you know, it's as if my, you know, pulse rate just drops, my blood pressure drops, and there's the golf course at the top of the hill where they've played golf, you know, for hundreds of years, and the water there, the North Sea, it's just tremendous. Really, you walk around town and you just run into golfers. Everybody plays golf there. It's all obviously also true of St. Andrews, but it's not congested. It's really a slow piece of life. There's the bookshop there, which became a character in my book. We lived above it in a fairly seedy flat. So for me, it's got everything I want out of golf. You know, I can't really explain why it was in 1977. When I went there the first time that I felt instantly at home there. But I did. And, you know, there's a concept of people have a secret home or another home. And that's where they react the most strongly. And for me, Dornoch is that way. When I go to Scotland now, I don't really go anywhere else.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And when I was over last year and I texted you, because as my first visit there and, I texted you and you asked me how it was, and I just said it was incredibly special. And that's if you have an opportunity to ever go anywhere in your life around the game of golf, that has to be number one on the list. So, and speaking of number one on the list, obviously we have to dismiss everybody's number one highlight of the year, because I think we've talked it ad nauseum about Tiger's win at Augusta, but what would you, you know, put up there as, you know, high, you know, on your high ranking list of highlights of the 2019 golf season?
Well, as far, you know, I think there was 1A and 1B for me. Certainly, you know, Tiger's win, like everybody else's, having done a book with Tiger and gotten to know him a little bit over the years, that was just, and the whole story of his comeback. But then there was also, more recently, the Solheim Cup, where the European women won the last three holes to come back and win. I mean, I thought that was just tremendous, really. And, you know, I didn't watch all of the first day's matches, but I sort of got captured by the whole event, really, and it was something to see them go ahead, and the way it all came down to the last putt, and then Suzanne Pedersen just, you know, the walk-off putt to win the Solheim Cup for the Europeans, and then that's the end of her career. It was amazing. You just don't see that too often in sports. So those two would be 1A and 1B for me. But, you know, there are a lot of other things as well. Corey Connors winning in Texas, Brooke Henderson winning twice, Brooks Koepka, the year he had winning the PGA and inside the top four in all majors, Brooke Henderson winning twice. And then there was, you know, something else. There was the advent of these young players who are coming along, and I don't know how you feel about it, but to me they're kind of redefining the way we look at the fundamentals of the golf swing. People like, obviously, Matthew Wolf, Colin Morikawa, Victor Hovland, they all, you know, they swing the club differently. They don't swing it in the classic way, and because of TrackMan and other devices, we're learning, I think, and teachers aren't having the easiest time of it to figure it all out, because there's kind of a conflict now between the way the game was taught, the fundamentals, grip, posture, balance. While they're still important, the emphasis now is so much on impact and not the backswing and not how it looks. So as a bit of a golf swing nerd, really, and who's written some books with some top teachers on this, I'm fascinated by that and to see where that will go.
Yeah, I think there is an evolution here. There's no doubt about it. And I think it's the first time it's really happened in the game of golf. It's happened in other sports. When you look at 1960 highlights from the NHL and how big the ice looked, and now it looks like, you can't even move out there because of the size of the players. You got linemen in the NFL running 4.440s and, 325-pound men out there running like, Ferraris. I think that the game of golf has evolved into that. And we took it, I think when you look at it, I think, and better than anyone, that is the ultimate influence that Tiger Woods is having on the game of golf right now. And that is the physicality, the athleticism that these young guys are coming out and playing. I think ultimately that is the impact he's had on the game of golf. We talk about minorities in the game of golf and what Tiger's influenced in that area, but there's no doubt about it that these young guys that are coming out, when you look at them, the speed they create, the way they look, Tiger's impact, that's what he's having on the game of golf.
Yeah, you're so right, Ian. I mean, it's such a power game right now. They're having trouble with, course architects, with how far the guys are hitting the golf ball. That's been developing for some years. But now we just see it, really. The players are blatantly coming out and saying it, that, we don't really care so much about hitting fairways. We just blast it down there as far as we can. And if we, hit it, get it into the rough, well, we can hit a wedge out of there most of the times, 130, 140, 150 yards, and get it on the green. I'm sure, if it was 25 years ago today and you were coming out there a young man to play on the tour and distinguish yourself as you did, I don't know how much time you spent in the gym, but now it would just be part of what you do. It wouldn't even be a consideration. Mm-hmm. You'd have a workout program, a nutrition program. You'd have all this team everybody refers to as a team, and I can't imagine that there are many exceptions to that. And so Tiger started that in 97 when he was so far ahead of everybody else in terms of how far he drove the ball at that Masters that he won by 12 shots, and then it just continued and deepened and deepened and deepened, and now we have the game we do, which is so far different than the one that I grew up with. Not that things shouldn't evolve, and it's very different from the one where you played and won on the tour.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. So when we look at that too, how do you feel about the physicality, the length that guys are hitting? And Michael Clayton's a very good friend of mine, and he has taken a stand on what this is doing to places like Dornick, for instance. I mean, how do you feel about the length guys are hitting and what it's doing, if you want to call it, to the game of golf?
Well, I totally agree with Michael. I corresponded with him a little bit over the years and listened to his podcasts. And, I think the game does evolve, and it's evolved into a power game. Maybe there's no stopping that, but I do think the ruling bodies, the RNA and the USGA particularly, just really dropped the ball on this and just, doing study after study. Everybody knows the ball is going so far and compromising golf courses and forcing the people to set up the golf courses and the people, the superintendents, for example, maintenance crews. What do you do when you got a tournament coming along, or when you got a U.S. Open coming along at Marion, which is now 6 years ago, 2013? You have to trick up the golf course so much that it's almost unrecognizable. Or you take the old course and you put tees on one of the other golf courses contiguous to it. So I think it's too bad, really. The thing for me is, as a golf watcher, never mind as a golf writer or whatever, is I like to see tour golfers be challenged to hit every club in their bag. To be able to hit long irons, to float a long iron in there, which Nicklaus could do so well, 2-iron, 3-iron, whatever, to have to hit low shots and run them around on the green, that sort of a thing. But, you just don't have that anymore, because there's no real solution right now to how you set up a golf course to compound how far they're hitting it. So it's driver wedge, driver wedge, driver wedge, and I'm not nearly as interested in watching the game, the tour game, as I was years ago. By no means do I sit and watch every minute of every PGA Tour event. On Sunday I'll have a look, especially especially if there are some players that I know. But, I mean, I really find it just, you know, kind of numbing to watch him just stand up there and power how far the ball is going. I'm impressed by it. Don't get me wrong. When you watch Rory McIlroy make that beautiful golf swing of his and when he's on the game and just sending it down there and with some control, I would hope, then, yeah, that's exciting to watch. But as a steady diet, nah, count me out.
So what do you think coming for the season, if you're not going to be watching every day, what are some of the things you're going to be watching?
I got a life, man.
Well, you know what? I do really enjoy watching the LPGA, especially when Brooke is
contending. I enjoy watching the LPGA, sure.
Yeah. Elena Sharp is tied for the lead at the LPGA event, so that's fantastic. So that's fun to watch. But what are you looking for?
I'll watch that. I mean, certainly I'll watch her. I mean, it'd be great if she wins. She's worked so hard.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Elena win. It would be a great story, as good as anything we've seen this year.
Absolutely. But so what else coming for the season? What are you going to be watching?
Well, we've got the Ryder Cup coming on later. I'm always interested in how the Canadians are doing. I mean, Adam Hadwin and Nick Taylor are doing well this week. I'm obviously aware of that. I'll be following David Hearn and see how he's doing. I mean, that was certainly a highlight for me as well, because I know David so well, how he, you know, played that last round of to get in and retain his card or get his playing status back. That was tremendous. So yeah, you know, when you get to know players, you're interested in them and you'll follow them. But I mean, you know, if Fowler walked into my front room right now, he wouldn't know who I am, because I don't really follow the game in that way anymore. I'm not out there writing. I'm interested more as a fan right now, and I'm interested in what's going on. But certainly, you know, I mean, the majors, the Ryder Cup, the Players' Championship, the U.S. Women's Open, the Women's British Open, I'll follow those tournaments, but, you know, I just don't run my life around them anymore.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the golf season. And I'm sure, are you going to get some golfing in Florida this in the off season?
Yeah, I look forward to getting down there. You know, I play once, twice a week, and sure, yeah, I definitely don't mind that I don't spend the winters here anymore.
Yeah, well, just tell Ian where you are, and
I'm sure he'll find him.
Yeah, he'll find him. Yep. You guys can connect.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Rube. Always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Lauren.
All righty. See you.
Lauren Rubenstein.